Welcome, Buckeye fans, to another episode of the 360 with Ohio State Athletics podcast presented by Kroger. My name is Timmy Hall. I'm filling in for our good buddy, Matt Andrews. I have done a lot of work for the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield. You might catch me breaking down Buckeye football games in the fall. You might catch me breaking down Buckeye men's basketball games and also doing episodes of Buckeye Roundtable. It's nice to be able to be a part of this podcast. Now, this is the series where we will go around the block O, and when we're finished with it, we will have chatted with all 36 head coaches here at Ohio State. And, you know, we get to ask a lot of the typical questions about their teams and about their seasons. We do that in press conferences, right? The whole emphasis and point of this one is to get to know about their paths, their journeys, how they got to where they are, and also what makes them tick as people off the playing surface and how they incorporate that back into their job as a coach. So I'm really excited to do this, and I can't wait to get to today's subject. I got to make a trip. I was invited, and why not accept that invite, right? Why would I stay here when I can go back out to campus and actually see and feel the facilities that these coaches work in every single day? So we start with women's golf coach Lisa Strom. She had a wonderful playing career at Ohio State, an LPGA golfer as well, and she was called home to become the head coach at Ohio State in 2021. And I began by talking to her about what a beautiful and gorgeous facility they have for the men's and women's golf team out at the Ohio State Golf Club. Here she is.
Yeah, just, you know, can't say enough about having you and kind of highlighting our women's golf program and having you here at the Jane and Walt Dennis Golf Performance Facility. It's it definitely showcases what we're all about here and what we're striving to do.
Lisa, how old is this facility?
So we moved in February of 2014, so just over 10 years now.
And I mean, we're sitting here in your office, and you've got an unbelievable view of an indoor golf and practice facility. Now, it looks like it's all synthetic. I think I got that part right. And you've got some synthetic bunkers as well. But explain what you have here. Do you know what the square footage of this facility is off the top of your head? But I imagine this is something, when the seasons change, you can get a lot of good work done in here.
Yeah, I mean, I think the true vision behind what we're looking at right now was to create as many shots as we could under a roof.
Yeah.
And we did a really good job of that with the help of a lot of great minds working together, between Therese Hessian and then our men's coach at the time, Donnie Dar, with the help of the Herdstons, just recreating as much as we could indoors so our players could get better. We've got about 25 yards by 40 yards under a roof, and we wanted to push that roof ceiling height as tall as we could, as understandably why, to be able to hit as high of a shot as we could in there. And with height comes cost, so we just kept pushing the limits as far as we could. And we're fortunate that, you know, Jane and Walt Dennis were really the spearheads behind getting this done here. Keeping it at OSU Golf Club was really important for our student athletes, and making sure that they didn't have to run around to a different facility 10 years ago.
Absolutely. So, and I imagine, you know, like you were explaining there, a little bit of creativity has to be involved as to what kind of shots you can hit and what aspects of your game you can work on indoors. But we do live in Ohio, and this is a state that's, you know, maybe not recently in the last couple of years. I can recall playing golf on a Christmas day here in the last 2 years where we've got some 60-degree temps. Yeah. So that's nice. But you do have to prepare for January and February and still be able to get that practice in, because that's going to come in handy when the season comes along.
Yeah, I like to tell people, you know, we waited a while to build this, but what we learned from a lot of other facilities we visited along the way was what they did well and what they would have done differently. So I think a testament to what we created here is that we haven't really changed it or had to redo things through the years. So we certainly added some technology. We now have a TrackMan simulator area downstairs, and then we've updated the hitting the turf a little bit, give it a little more cushion underneath it. But you know, as far as square footage wise, we're in about a 12,000 square foot building, and you know, with the heated covered bays out at the back of the driving range, we get a lot of good work done. And we just ran into John Cook recently, and he was telling us too, you know, like, the reason I came to Ohio State was to get tougher. And we always use that in our talks to recruits.
Sure.
We play in all kinds of conditions. And so when you leave Ohio State, we want you to know that you can handle all the different types of weather you might encounter anyway.
Maybe go a step deeper and explain to someone that's not a golfer what exactly that means. Because you use the word toughness. And I can imagine a lot of non-golfers might kind of say, well, what do you mean toughness with a golfer? I know what you're talking about because I've played the game my entire life, but there's a type of mental toughness, but also physical toughness that can come with this game.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the big things we emphasize is embracing the conditions, right? So we're outside, we're not a court sport. We don't have 70 degrees and sunny all the time. And even players within our program that aspire to play, you know, on the LPGA Tour, they're going to face different weather conditions. They're going to be in different environments, different grasses, just different areas of the country, the world. And the toughness factor for us is how do you handle it? How do you adapt? How do you adjust to each of those days? And for us, when we travel and we go out to California in February, we want to feel prepared and ready to go out there. How do we do that? We've got a great facility here that we're able to be in every day.
Yeah, no, you said it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Ohio State women's golf coach Lisa Strom on this edition of 360 with Ohio State Athletics. And let's talk about you now for a minute. You mentioned, you know, getting prepared to play on the LPGA Tour. You know what that's like. First of all, if you had to play in adverse weather conditions, what did you prefer to play? And if there was rainy or windy, if there's something that you were just a little bit more comfortable when it wasn't that perfect 70 degree and sunny day, as you mentioned.
Yeah, no, I love the wind. I think more than anything, wind, rain, or whatever you're going to get, the cold temps, whatever.
Right.
It eliminates almost half the field usually at that point because everybody's kind of getting wrapped up into what the weather's going to do or how it's going to impact them. And they kind of almost write themselves off of like, well, it's just not going to be my day. And so I think that always helped mentally to prepare yourself on tough conditions.
Yeah,
You know, I grew up in Aberdeen, South Dakota, and learned to play the game in the Midwest and definitely enjoyed when it was good weather, but know what it's like to kind of tee it up. And we played plenty of qualifying rounds in some cold, chilly temps. So this Ohio State and the experience here, I think it really helped translate into performing better beyond college golf too.
Golf is a journey unlike a lot of sports, is it not? I mean, you can think back to when you're growing up in South Dakota, where it began for you, Lisa, where the love of the game came from.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to get me choked up, you could do a good job on that one. You know, I started playing with my dad, walking along, playing. Uh-huh. I still remember the blacktop, I would call it the blacktop, but the spikes sinking into that on a hot summer day. And real
talking about the metal spikes metal and how spikes. They kind of make those depressions into the blacktop. Yeah,
and I thought that dad was
saying,
the coolest.
Don't walk on the pavement. Get into the grass, right?
Yeah.
Don't ruin your spikes.
And I thought that was the coolest feeling in the world, though, because it was so hot.
Yeah.
They'd sink into it. And like to this day, you still kind of think back to that's where it all kind of started. And for me, you know, the journey beginning of having a very patient set of parents who encouraged me to play other sports and obviously play golf, too. And I had the opportunity to travel with my dad after college. And he came out and caddied for some tournaments on the Futures Tour back then. And we'd be driving in the car and have good conversation. And I remember asking him, like, how did you know I was going to be good? And he said, well, you know, as I saw you progress, it turned into like you'd be in a bunker, for example. And he's like, you know, at first I'd wonder, like, is she going to get out of the bunker? And then it became like, you started like hitting it closer. And then it was like, wow, is she going to make this bunker shot? He goes, you just kept seeing the progression, the gradual progression of getting better. And then he always reminded me of we would get dropped off as he would go to work one day at a golf course in the summertime,
sure,
just to play all day long. And so my brother and I were out there and we were on the driving range kind of waiting for dad to come pick us up. And I was pretty distraught because by 7-iron, the head of it had flown off into the driving range while we were hitting balls. And
oh, no. I'm assuming that's just a total club malfunction.
It was a total club malfunction. Yeah, I was distraught. I was like, what has just happened? I've just broken my 7-iron. So
oh boy.
He showed up and I'm like, Dad, I'm so sorry. You know, and he's like, I knew then how serious you took it because you were just adamant of like, you wanted to make it right. You wanted to fix it. You wanted to get it back together. And, it, you know, I think we played a lot.
You cared at a different level.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, he showed me how to regrip my clubs in the garage. And, like, those are the types of things that even, you know, our freshmen here, we get them into our, we have a grip changing and a kind of a club repair room downstairs. And we always take our freshmen down there and show them one by one, like, hey, this is how this works. Yeah. It's really easy actually to do. And it's just one of those life lessons that I felt like, you know, I've learned, and it can carry on and pay them, you know, dividends later on too, to be able to know how to take care of their stuff.
I love that. I feel like most of the time this is a sport that comes from within our own families, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it skips a generation. For me personally, my dad plays. I think he plays because he knows how much I love the game. And he wants to be out there. And I'm much better than my father at this point. So I know that kind of, he's a competitive guy. So I can see that it bothers him a little bit. But my grandfather, who his code name was the Pop-Pop. So I can still remember when I got that first set of junior golf clubs. I can remember what the bag looked like. I'm not kidding you, Lisa. Like, you would never see a golf bag like this in today's day and age. Now, like, the kids have the cool, like, Ricky Fowler Puma sets, right? Or the Ken Cobra set.
We don't talk about Ricky Fowler around here, but that's okay.
Right, yeah, no, different OSU. Yeah, different OSU. I know.
Yep.
But this was, like, the youth version of something out of Caddyshack. Like, it was white and green leather. I wish I still had it. I wish I do, but I can still remember. And the club covers on the woods were, like, those
tassels.
Kind of woven socks that have like the little fuzzy ball on top, just completely out of the 80s. But I think I knew then and there when I wasn't even, I was not a very good player in high school. I tried to play and it didn't work, but I know what you're talking about, because I knew just getting those clubs that I was going to be connected to this game for my entire life.
Yeah. Yeah. My first set of clubs was Golden Lassies from, nice. From Walmart or Kmart. I can't remember, but, you know, and then progressed from there. But yeah, it's one of those things that it connects people. It's a great sport to play for a lifetime. And it's certainly a great sport to learn a lot of life lessons.
So your path is still so interesting, because you play golf here. Did you realize that you wanted to be a coach while you were a college golfer? Because you went on and had a professional career and spent a lot of time and had some very, very good years in the LPGA. And I imagine that's something that you can talk to your players and use now as an asset in your coaching career. But I'm always curious about that, because I like the other sport that I love so much, so dearly, is basketball. And I thought, if I couldn't play basketball or play golf professionally, then I would want to coach. And then if I didn't figure out how to coach, then I'll just, that's why I wound up being a broadcaster.
You get to talk about sports.
A door swung open and I talk about sports. But did you know that, or was it just full bore on trying to play this game to the best of my ability?
Yeah, I never probably considered coaching to be an avenue for, you know, my future career until the opportunity presented itself.
Yeah.
So prior to that, it was more, you know, how long can I play on tour, how long can I compete out there and do it at a high level. To think back to Aberdeen, South Dakota again, and the YMCA basketball on Saturday mornings that I used to play, and I'd play against Josh Heupel, who's the head football coach at Tennessee.
Big time now.
You know, now I'm coaching here. To think that the two of us grew up playing basketball together at the age of maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 years old is kind of wild, but here we are coaching at a really high level in the sport that we love. So to me, coaching kind of found me, more than I searched it out. And, I had a great coach, obviously, in Therese here. And then Amy, who's our current director of ops, was the previous assistant, you know, prior to me coming in here. And, she was getting out of coaching, starting a family. And she said, you know, do you think you'd be interested in it? You know, I'm going to be switching roles. And I thought to myself, not really. No, I'm good with what I'm doing. I'm fine. And then I started really thinking about, like, well, what does the next 10 years look like? What does the next 20 years look like? And I think that kind of led me down to, like, you know what? Maybe this is the right time to change paths without having to walk away from the sport that I love. You know, I wasn't injured, wasn't mad at the game, just wasn't really good enough. I mean, at the end of the day, there were a lot of really good players, and you get out there and it's, you think you're good, and then you get around people that are even better than you thought they were.
You seem very comfortable in your own skin saying it that way. Because clearly you're an incredible player. The way I would look at that, the fact that you're playing varsity high school golf tells me something. The fact that you're playing at a program like Ohio State, and then the fact that you're on the LPGA Tour means you're one of the best golfers in the country. But that you can compartmentalize that, I guess that's what happens when you compete at the highest level, right?
Yeah, I mean, I try to tell our young women all the time, like, if that's where you say you want to go, I'm all for it. But, like, you've got to be prepared to meet that with the hard work required. And there's a lot of diligent hard work that you've got to put in to even have an opportunity to compete out there, let alone sustain your career, compete at a high level and have a chance to win or, you know, win multiple times. I mean, it's just every level you go up, it gets even smaller and smaller. So it's tough. It's a very tough, demanding career, and it's a tough traveling career. I've had a lot of former players in the last few years reach out and be like, wow, I had no idea how much we have on our plates when we turn pro and we're on our own.
Lisa Strom, the women's golf coach, is spending some time with us here on the 360 podcast. She's actually invited us into her office for this edition, which is very cool. I mentioned we're looking out at the practice facility here at the Scarlet and Gray at the Ohio State Golf Club. Coach Heschen, how much did she mean to you? And when you did decide that you were going to go into this coaching journey, and you had some head coaching stops before you came here, how many things were you taking from your memory and implementing those things?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously Coach took a chance on me, you know, as a high school junior golfer. I have the VHS tape actually that I sent, and you know, here was my golf swing, and I'm like, what did you see in that? And she's like, it really wasn't about your golf swing at the time.
How long was the video?
It was like 35, 40 seconds probably total. It was just a couple driver swings.
Short and sweet.
Yeah, a couple driver swings, a couple iron swings, face
Mine
on.
Would have been 9 minutes long for people that know me.
And, you know, she's like, Petrami, I saw something else, you know, in you and more of the athletic side and the grit and the competitor and, you know, the technique stuff could get kind of ironed out. And so, you know, she took a chance on me. I loved my career here. I redshirted my first year and then played my last four. But, you know, what did she mean to me? She still means a lot. You know, it's not like once she retired, she was kind of off, you know, riding into the sun. She's still around Columbus. We get together. We get to see each other. You know, and I think that's the important part is the connection through Ohio State. We've been close for 25 years now, and you know, I've still got teammates that we keep in touch with, and when we do reunions and all that, it's just it's a special place to be a part of. And you know, for Therese to take me in and be her assistant for almost five and a half years from 2011 to 16, then go spread my wings at a couple of different places and get back here in 2021 to be the head coach and her the director of golf, even though it was for a shorter stint than that I may have wanted. You know, she decided to retire in December of 21. But, you know, for me, being alongside her as much as I have been, she's just so well respected and has always kind of been a consummate learner. That's probably one of the biggest things she's passed on to me is just the thirst for knowledge and studying the game and how can you be a better coach and how can you be better at helping them with their golf swings and putting and then life. Right. And that's probably, you know, maybe a little bit more of my center of how I coach these young players is I know the X's and O's well enough. Mm-hmm. But really, we're going to have you really be developing and developing who you are as a person through this program.
When you first decided you were going to get into college golf, it's so different than all the other setups for professional golf. I mean, sure, there's some team events out there, right? We're seeing more and more that I actually think they're pretty cool. We're even seeing some. I know the DP World Tour had a tournament where men and women were in the same field. I forget who it was, but I think it was a Swede who just had an epic collapse, and a woman won the event. I thought that was really neat how they did that. But college golf, it's team play virtually every time out, but it's mixed in with individual play. How much thought did you put into that when you decided I'm going to go into this format? This is for me, but how am I going to do it? Like you mentioned taking things from Coach Heschen, but I imagine there's a lot of thought that goes into getting ready for every single tournament. Who's hot? Who's not putting well? Whose short game is off? How have I been coaching them that week? A lot that goes into that, I imagine.
Yeah, I think week in and week out, you know, you're always kind of combing through some of their stats that they've put in. You're always checking in with them, see how, like, where they are in their semester. A lot of times you see some fluctuations going on with, you know, the academic calendar and their midterms and the travel, you know, demands on what they've got going on to turn in stuff while we might be on the road or prepare for something when we get back. But there's a lot of ebbs and flows to it. You know, I think the beauty of having played college golf, you kind of know what they're going through. You mm-hmm. know that there's a lot of transition. And certainly when you have new freshmen coming in, there's a big transition for them, whether they're international or Americans, it might be a little bit different. But, you know, I always try to remind them, like, in that first semester that they're here, like, we're here to help you with everything, not just golf. And so I think they really start to understand the family atmosphere around here and that we mean it and we stand behind it, as far as, you know, if in the middle of the night we've had a player lose their dad suddenly. This was about 10 years ago.
Oh,
and, you know, we had her on a plane home to Thailand within about eight hours. And so those are the things that, as a coach, you're never prepared for. There's no manual for, like, hey, now you're going to get into coaching. Here's your player manual and here's what you got to, you know how to do.
Yeah.
You help a lot of players through some dark times. And those are the ones that really, at the end of the day, mean the most, because you know you've made a really big impact outside of the golf course for them.
Lisa, what does the future look like here?
We got a bright, bright future. We've got a lot of great young players in our program right now that I couldn't be more excited about. Love watching them compete. They're very mature. They carry themselves really well on the golf course. They're starting to believe they belong, which is really fun to watch. And, you know, I think this upcoming season that we've got, I'm just super excited to see their growth. Because I already know that they're great players and they're great human beings. So there's really the sky's the limit for them. And we've got a lot of great commits coming in for the next couple of years as well.
Well, Lisa, you've been so cool with your time here. I want to thank you for inviting us to the facility. I love making a trip out to campus. It gets so boring in the studio all the time. So anytime I can come out here, I'd love to catch a round of golf as well.
Anytime.
How often do you get to play? Is that sort of...
No,
I mean, it's the one sport for me where it's not like I can get bored of shooting hoops. I don't want to throw the football all the time, but I don't think I would ever turn down a round of golf.
I tell a lot of people, I say there's not many college sports you can still go play with your college coach very often, and golf is one of them. You can't, you know, you're not going to put on pads and go against Coach Day in the football field. And
that'd be weird.
You're probably not going to have Ty Tucker running around on a tennis. You might with Ty, I guess he might run around, but to be able to, you know, tee it up alongside of our current student athletes, I'm probably going to play on Sunday with them. I haven't played with this team yet. So, you know, I think it's one of those things where it's just fun to let them know, like, hey, I know how hard this game is too. And we miss hit shots and it's about managing your miss hits.
Yeah.
And it also reminds us as coaches how hard the game is, and they're not going to hit all their shots perfectly either. So
sure.
I got to play a little bit in Ireland this past summer. I went over for the Arnold Palmer Cup.
Oh.
And my mom is from Ireland, so we were about an hour from her family. Got to see a lot of her side of the family.
That's
again
wonderful.
Together. And so I've made it a point to kind of make sure that my clubs don't get too dusty. They don't sit around too long.
Yeah, get it.
So let's go play. Yeah.
It's a great way to, like, if you've had a long day. I mean, you got the facility right here. You can go, even if it's just five shots, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Go out there, hit 5 or 10 balls.
Exactly.
Get in the car and go home.
Yep.
Make sure that you can still do it. Well, yep. I'll end the podcast with this. What does it mean to you to be a Buckeye?
I know for a fact, looking back my time here as an undergrad, so as a Buckeye student athlete, shaped who I became when I left here. And now to be back and help young people from 18 to 22 years old realize that they can reach their dreams and reach their potential, to me, it means everything. And I know that 40 years from now, I want players to have come through here and say that was the best decision I ever made. So take great pride in this program and this university. And it's a very special place for me to be, and definitely proud to be a Buckeye.
Perfect way to end it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ohio State women's head golf coach, Lisa Strom on the Ohio State 360 podcast presented by Kroger. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Go Bucks.